Well, I'm not sure if we all realize, but today, all across the world, churches are celebrating today as the day of Pentecost. It is the day that we recognize the birth of the global church when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon men and women in the upper room, and they all proclaim together the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Peter preached the first sermon of this newly born church on the steps of the Temple Mount. And people from all over the world heard the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, his life, death, and resurrection in their own language. But even though that's when the church was born, that's not where the Holy Spirit began his work in the pages of Scripture. You see, just like Jesus has always been and always will be, was present, is present, and will be present, the Holy Spirit is also present in the pages of Scripture from the very beginning to the very end. And I know you have heard this verse several times, but the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was chaos and waste, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. But the Holy Spirit, the Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of God, was hovering upon the surface of the water, ready to bring forth life and beauty and order, ready to create out of chaos. You see, the Hebrew word for spirit is ruach, but basically what that means is that it's the way that the Bible's authors speak about God's personal, tangible presence that is with each and every single one of us. It's God being active in the world that we live in. And so from the very beginning, you know, years passed, and the Bible tells us that civilization grew, and they decided that they did not need to walk with God anymore. His creation became defiled by the sons of man, and God said, "My spirit will not remain with humankind forever, since they are flesh. So now their days will be 120. And after that, the Bible tells us that wickedness grew and humanity was filled with evil. And because God's good creation had now been twisted and made wicked and evil, God was deeply pained. And you don't hear a whole lot about the work of the Spirit, but one day, many years later, we see how the Holy Spirit is continually at work, even though we don't realize it. He is creating out of chaos and empowering people to do the will of God. You see, there was a young man named Joseph, and we don't necessarily think of Joseph as being super empowered by the Holy Spirit, but he was. The Spirit was with him because there was a young man that he was totally different than all the people that were around him. He was so different. He was so filled and moved by the power of the Holy Spirit that Pharaoh, a pagan god man, recognized that there was something different about him because the Spirit of God rested upon him so powerfully. In Genesis 41:38, it says, "Can a man like this be found? One in whom is God's Spirit." But then we also see the artist Bezalel that is empowered by God's Spirit with wisdom, with skills, and with creative genius to make all things beautiful in the tabernacle according to the designs that are in heaven. We also see the Ruach, or God's Spirit, in the Old Testament when the Spirit came upon specific individuals such as judges or artisans or prophets to give them extraordinary power for temporary task. And the Spirit spoke through the prophets to guide, to direct, to rebuke the nations, and to inspire the writing of Scripture. But each and every single one of the authors saw a problem. While God's Spirit created a good world, humans unleashed chaos into it by evil and injustice and seeking sin every place. But prophets like Ezekiel looked forward to a day when the Holy Spirit would be permanently placed inside all of God's people, creating out of chaos a transformed human heart, a life dedicated to God, and people empowered truly by the love of God and the love for others. But we get to this place where there is silence in all of Scripture for hundreds of years because sin entered the world and sin reigned, and it seemed as if God had gone silent. But one day, that same Spirit rested upon a young lady named Mary, and she conceived the light of the world and the hope of mankind. And upon this event, upon this conception, Mary went to see her cousin Elizabeth. And Elizabeth, the Bible says, was completely filled with the Holy Spirit. And what did she begin to do? She began to prophesy. And the same thing happened to her husband, Zechariah. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he began to prophesy as well. And so we have a prophecy over Mary and over Jesus. And we have a prophecy over John the Baptist, who was one that came in the spirit of Elijah that went to prepare the way for the Lord. And one day the Spirit hovered over the waters again, just like it did at creation. But this time, instead of chaos, there was hope, because the Bible tells us of a scene where Jesus goes to meet John the Baptist, his cousin, and he was baptized in the Jordan River. And as he is baptized and he comes up out of the water, the skies open up, and it seems as if God's Spirit began to come down in the form of a dove, and it rested upon Jesus. And in this event, we are meant to see that God's Spirit empowered Jesus to begin this new creation, to bring new life where there was death, to bring blessings where there was curses, to bring God's Spirit where there was nothing but emptiness. He begins the new covenant in Christ. And after this moment, Jesus, he begins to heal. He begins to forgive people of their sins. Jesus begins to create new life where there was nothing but death. And he is creating life where there was chaos. He's bringing light where there was the chaos of darkness. And so Luke 4 tells us that he even proclaimed in the synagogue. He read from the scroll. It said, "The Ruach Adonai," or the Spirit of the Lord, "is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set free the oppressed, and to proclaim a year of the Lord's favor." Even though he was opposed on every side by the leaders of this world, Jesus still moved in and walked in the power of the Holy Spirit, so much so that he was able to fulfill all that the law said, all that the prophets said, every single rule in this book he was able to fulfill, and he laid down his life for each and every single one of us. Not only that, but through the power of the Holy Spirit, he raised it up again. And a few days later, he breathed on his disciples in the upper room, and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And then he ascended to heaven. You see, 50 days after his Passover sacrifice, after he arose and he poured out his Spirit to enable his followers, both men and women, to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ with power and with creativity like never seen before. I think sometimes we get it twisted, right? Like we understand that the Holy Spirit brings us power, but we also forget that the Holy Spirit, who is the creative agent in this world, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit working together, brings all the creativity of heaven and earth together in the life of the believer. So we have the ability to walk in power, but we also have the ability to walk in the creativity of God in whatever field and whatever area that God has called us to. We can walk in his power, and we can move with his creativity to do the things that he has called us to do. But the people had never seen God's Spirit move in such a way as this. Acts 2 says, "And when the day of Shavuot," or the day of Pentecost, "had come, they were all together in one place." You see, they were celebrating the giving of the law on Mount Sinai. If you've never read that experience, and you want to see the awe and the wonder and the pure power and majesty of God, then go and read the story of the giving of the law on Mount Sinai, where the whole earth shook and the mountain is still black on top today from the fire of heaven that rested upon it. I would encourage you to go read that. But it says that suddenly a sound came from heaven, a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And tongues like fire spreading out appeared to them and settled on each one of them. Remember, this is men and women together in the upper room, and they were all filled with the Spirit of God and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them to speak out. Now, Jewish people were staying in Jerusalem, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound came, the crowd gathered and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in their own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, "All these who are speaking, aren't they Galileans? How is it that we each hear in our own birth language?" And it lists all of the different places and all of the different countries that people had come from far away. And they were all hearing them declare in their own language the mighty deeds of God. And they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to each other, "What does this mean?" I think that's a very common question. Even though the Holy Spirit was poured out thousands of years ago today, we have somehow shied away from the move of the Spirit, so much so that when God begins to move in power and authority, we ask, "What does this mean?" And other people were poking fun of it, saying, "They're full of sweet new wine." But Peter, standing there with the 11, on the steps of the temple, he raised his voice and he addressed them. He said, "Fellow Judeans and all who are staying in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and pay attention to my words. These men are not drunk as you suppose, for it's only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken of about through the prophet of Joel." Remember, the Holy Spirit has been active from the very beginning, is currently active and will be active. And it says this, "It shall be in the last day, says God, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my slaves, male and female, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will give wonders in the sky above, signs on the earth beneath, blood and fire and smoky vapor. The sun will be turned to darkness, the moon to blood, before the great and glorious day of the Lord comes. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And then he goes on to say, "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man authenticated to you by God with mighty deeds and wonders and signs God performed through him in your midst, as you yourselves have known. This Jesus, given over by God's predetermined plan and foreknowledge, was nailed to the cross by the hand of lawless men you killed. But God raised him up, releasing him from the pains of death, since it was impossible for him to be held by it. For David says about him, 'I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand, so that I might not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. Moreover, my body also was live in hope, because you will not abandon my soul to Sheol or let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life, and you will fill me with joy in your presence.'" Peter goes on to say, "I can confidently tell you that the patriarch David died and was buried. His tomb is with us today. But because he was a prophet and knew God had sworn an oath to him to seat one of his descendants on his throne, David saw beforehand and spoke of the Messiah's resurrection, that he was not abandoned to Sheol and his body would not see decay. This same Jesus is raised up. We are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, receiving from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this, what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, yet he said himself, 'Adonai said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet.' Therefore, let the whole house of Israel know for certain that God has made him, this Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." And now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the emissaries, "Fellow brethren, what shall we do?" Amen. What shall we do? Collectively and individually. That's a question that we all need to ask. What shall we do from this day forward? It says this, "Repent and let each of you be immersed in the name of Jesus for the removal of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, and it is for your children, and for all who are far away, as many as the Lord our God calls to himself. Verse 1, it says, so 41, it says, so those who received his message were immersed, and that day 3,000 souls were added to the church. And then what did they do? They devoted themselves to teaching and to fellowship and to breaking bread and to prayers, and fear lay upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were happening through the emissaries. And all who believed were together, having everything in common. Goes on to say that they were sharing meals with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God, having favor with all the people. And every day the Lord was adding to their numbers those who were saved. What does a living, breathing church filled with the Spirit of God look like? That's exactly what it looks like. But what does that mean for us today? Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. After you heard the message of truth, which you have heard, the good news of your salvation, and when you put your trust in him, you were sealed in the promise of the Holy Spirit, and he is the guarantor of our inheritance until the redemption of his possession to his glorious praise. Not only are we saved and sealed, but we have his Spirit in us, available to us, producing the good works of Christ through each and every single one of us. Galatians 5, 22 through 25 says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and with its desires. If we live by the Spirit, then also let us walk by the Spirit. The Bible tells us it's not enough to just come in here. We can live by the Spirit here. We can feel the presence of the Holy Spirit here. We can activate the gifts of the Holy Spirit here, but that's just only one part of it. Because according to those scriptures that we just read, not only are we supposed to live, but we have to walk in the Spirit. That means we have to go out. We have to move out from this place in the power and the authority of the Holy Spirit and do the things that God has called us to do. The Holy Spirit is still moving. He is still creating in the chaos. The only difference is, instead of doing it in creation or doing it through the person of Jesus Christ, he is doing it through you and I. Each and every single one of us is who God has chosen to continue his work through the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit pushes us. It compels us outside, out from the upper room where they were filled, out from this sanctuary into our communities to serve other people and to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. But the Bible also says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Not only does the Spirit provide us the ability to do the things that God has intended for each and every single one of us to do, he gives us the creativity that we need to do these things and provides the freedom in Christ that allows you to do them untethered from guilt and shame and sin, and to walk in truth and power and freedom. You know, the Holy Spirit is not some distant, unknowable ghost floating around out there somewhere. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the living God, the third person of the Trinity, Father, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, that is actively communicating the mind of Christ to each and every single one who believes in him. The Bible also tells us that he shows us hidden riches of the Word of God. The Holy Spirit searches the heart of the Father in heaven and reveals those things to us. The Holy Spirit also is not weird. People are weird. We've been taught things, we've been shown things, we've modeled things can be a little odd sometimes, but God's Spirit is true to Himself and to His Word. God's Spirit is active, it is moving in order to empower and enable you, to compel you outside of this building into the world to share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So the worship team's going to begin praying. If you will, please stand with me. We're just going to take some time to worship the Lord together. I want to encourage you. Repent. If you need to be baptized, get baptized. We love baptism services. We had a great one last week. We'll be more than happy to baptize anyone that needs to be baptized. But repent, be baptized, be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and go out into all the world. The Bible says go out into the thoroughfares. There's plenty of traffic in Frisco. There's plenty of places to go. The Bible says go out into the thoroughfares. Go into the fenced places. Go out into the world proclaiming the good news of Jesus in the power of the Spirit so that they will come and see the goodness of God in the land of the living. We want to give people the chance to make an opportunity to live for Christ while they still have that chance. Repent, be baptized, be filled with the Spirit, and observe all that He has taught us through His Word. I think the answer to this question should be yes for each and every single one of us, but do you want to be filled? Do you want to be overflowing with the Spirit of the living God? The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is available to you. It is available to live in you and move through you. He has gifts for you and He bids you. God is calling you. He is drawing you to Himself through the power of the Holy Spirit right now. Say, come and get all the gifts, all the promises that I have for you. There's many ways that you can approach God. People have been filled with the power of the Holy Spirit alone in their room, in prayer, and in massive, massive services. There's many, many different ways in which God can move in your life. But the one thing that they all have in common is this. The Bible tells us to offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. What does that mean? It is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to God and acknowledging His name. The prayer team's going to come, and we would be more than willing. In fact, we love the opportunity to pray with you and for you. But most importantly, the thing that we need to do now is just forget about everyone that's standing beside us and offer up a sacrifice of praise with our mouth, using our voices, speaking out, singing out, crying out, wherever you are in that. Some of us may be shouting for joy. Some of us may be weeping with things that we have brought to this service today. But speak out the fruit of your lips, giving thanks and acknowledging God. Altars are open. We want to pray with you and for you. God, thank you for this opportunity to gather today, God. God, we seek your face. To be close to you. God, I just pray that you would move in a mighty and awesome way, God. Continue to do the things that you have desired to do in this service today, God. We submit our will, we submit our desires, we submit our time. We submit everything that we have to you. In your precious holy name, amen. We have time and opportunity. Let's pray together.